Okay, well, I think we should get going, and we're going to have to rearrange the agenda items to take the agenda items that have a resolution associated with them and put them later on the agenda in hopes that we achieve quorum shortly, and take the non-resolution requiring agenda items and move them up to the front. Does anybody have any issues with that? All right, thanks for your indulgence on that. So we'll start with item one. We'll go with item one, agenda item one, then two, and then seeing that Yang Am is not on the call, we'll have to skip four and... Hi, who just joined?
That was Nigel. I got thrown off.
Okay. Then we'll move to item number five, which is an FOI implementation update. And we'll go to five and six. Hopefully by then we'll be able to get back onto the regularly scheduled program. So begging your indulgence on that, that's how we will get started. Thanks. So the other thing is we do have a couple of guests. Martin will be joining, or I think already has joined, to walk us through what will be item 3.1. And Mathieu will be joining a little bit later in the call to walk us through item 3.2. So we'll have to be a little sensitive to that. So with that, we'll get going. Agenda item number one. We did receive a couple of apologies in advance from Peter Van Raste and Leonid, and then also just this morning, or well, depending where you are, just hours ago, from one other person. I can't. Bart, help me out.
Celia,
sorry. Yeah, so she just sent her apologies as well. Were there any additional apologies?
Kim, any additional apologies?
I did not receive any additional apologies.
Okay, so those are the only three that we actually received in advance.
Yep.
I just, sort of on that note, I'd just like to remind everybody that back in the workshop in Singapore, we spoke about attendance, and it was generally accepted that we should be a little more robust in our reporting on attendance. We do report it in the minutes, but of course somebody would have to go look at the minutes to figure it out. And as we discussed in Singapore, we're going to make it a little more visible. So starting in January, we will be putting the attendance on the CCNSO website as well. So just to make sure everybody has fair warning on that, that's the outcome of our conversation in Singapore. Moving on to item number two, in terms of the minutes and actions. The minutes have been circulated to the list and there are no comments at all. So are there any comments here? Otherwise, we'll consider them adopted. Okay. Thank you all. So we'll consider those minutes adopted. And we could ask Kim, all actions complete? Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. All actions were completed.
Thank you, Kim. So we will move past agenda item number three for the moment, since I believe we still don't have quorum. And is Yang Am on the call? I don't think so, right? Yang Am, no. So we will move to item number five, which is the FOI implementation update. And I know that Becky and Keith have been in touch with IANA staff. And if I could just ask Keith to provide us an update on where that process is at.
fine. And can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you. And I just, if I could say one thing, Bart or Kim, I don't have control of the presentation, so I can't adjust the agenda. Thank you.
Okay. With regard to the FOI, there's been some fairly steady progress from IANA staff in terms of the implementation, and they are hoping to have by the end of the year, i.e. 2 or 3 weeks' time, a first draft of the implementation process for the FOI out to us, to the CCNSO community for a first consideration. There is one issue that's cropped up that they are seeking some greater clarification on, and I think Becky and I don't feel that we have sufficient information from the CCTLD community to provide that input. So I'd like to just talk it through rather quickly on this call tonight, and then if you'll indulge me, I'll get something out in writing to you, to the council, and over the next week, and then we could perhaps have another discussion on the topic on our 23rd December call, if that's okay. The issue that has arisen is that in the FOI final report, we requested that IANA do not contact the admin and technical contacts as listed in the IANA database when it's an issue of delegation or revocation or retirement, and that there should be a specific person or procedure gone through for these more serious changes to the IANA database. So the questions they've come back with is, should we have that information in the IANA database or outside of the IANA database? And if it is in the IANA database, should it be published? And then there's a number of questions over what information should be carried for this process that's going to be followed, and should it be a single process, or could it be the different processes for different CCTLDs. Some CCTLDs might like to say, well, we have a person and their name's Joe Bloggs, and they are the person that you should contact, and they will confirm or otherwise on any revocation or retirement issue and so on. Other organisations might prefer to have a title. It should be the CEO. Some might outline a process. It might be, we would like the CEO and the chairman of the board to confirm by copying the resolution from the minutes that agreed to the revocation of this CCTLD. So there's a few options and a few different ways of thinking about it. So just as an initial thought, could you start to think about this and what you would think would be appropriate to your CCTLDs and how you would like to, or what information you'd like to see recorded by IANA in terms of that process should it ever come up. And if I can get a feeling from council, I think that will help me in terms of or help Becky and I in terms of what guidance we can provide IANA on this. And, you know, my feeling is that we'll probably end up with some different options. And, you know, some CCTLDs are still run by individuals, some are by corporates, some are by incorporated societies and so on. So there may be differing needs for different CCTLDs. So it's to what extent that might happen. So I'm hoping that I can have a bit more meaningful discussion on this with you so that we can have a bit of a feel for what you think is appropriate to be the mechanisms that are empowering for your CCTLD. Is that reasonably clear, or are there any questions of clarification required?
Thank you, Keith. I see Nigel has his hand up. Nigel?
Yeah, thank you, Byron. And thank you, Keith. That's actually extremely helpful, and it's probably the question that Diana have raised is probably the most significant to them and, of course, to each individual CCTLD. The feeling I'm getting is that, first of all, that they're in good order and wanting to, in good faith, implement, that's the right word, mechanisms inside the IANA that will comply with the intent and the spirit of the historic policies and the interpretation, which is good. I actually think this is great. What I think they're doing also is by asking for this, is respecting the intent and the principle, the long-held principle of subsidiarity, which means that IANA is going to need some kind of procedure and internal operating instructions, if you like, whereby it can ask an individual CCTLD for the CCTLD's instructions in these cases. I guess, Keith, that's the sort of thing you had in mind, isn't it?
Correct. And you know, there's a whole host of other pieces that go alongside this, including you know, the question of consent and IANA having to satisfy itself that it's consent that's freely given and not under pressure and so on and so on. So, I think it's IANA realising and understanding that there's not going to be a one-size-fits-all solution, and how we can have the least number of methodologies that are appropriate and required.
I think that's very helpful, Keith. Thanks. Then I think that what I would do is, first of all, look forward to whatever they're going to be publishing, or say publishing, putting out to us in the next couple of weeks. But secondly, to volunteer to work with you and Becky on this, because I think what we need to do is that the IANA needs to put in place a procedure by which it asks the CCTLD and then records the response and so on. And there's some good questions as to whether some of this is public or not. I think changing the IANA, the schema of the IANA database, without wide consultation is probably it's something that we would probably not want to do. ICANN did it in 1999-2000 without really discussing it. So, you know, adding extra fields and so on just willy-nilly is probably not a good idea, but developing this is an extremely good idea.
Yeah, there is. The reason they asked is that there is a spare field that could be utilised for the purpose in the database already that's just laying vacant. But again, you know, one of the questions is if it's in the database, then you know, should it be public or should it be completely offline? Because you don't really want to alert miscreants as to the process that can be used to do the redelegation.
But then again, what transparency if it's not that? It's the age-old dynamic tension, isn't it?
True.
Farish.
Okay, thanks. Any other questions for Keith? Okay, thanks very much. I think we'll move on then to item number 6, which is potential upcoming PDPs. And as we have discussed, and as has been discussed in face-to-face meetings, you know, part of the transition process has, I think, demanded some policy development processes on retirement of CCTLDs.
and of the independent review of decisions on delegation and revocations, transfers, et cetera. And I think we're at a point now, it's certainly my belief that we're now at a point where we have to commence that process. And I'm going to suggest that we ask the Secretariat to start scheduling and mapping out what those processes would look like and potentially what the timelines would look like, et cetera. So I just wanted to put that out there. It seems like the timing is right, if not required. And I'd like to get the Secretariat going on any discussion or any questions on this. Sorry, my computer's just give me 1 second. Nigel, is your hand up for a new question, or is that an old hand? Old hand.
I presume that answered the question.
Yes.
I'm running Adobe Connect on my tiny little iPhone, so I'm struggling a little bit here.
Yes, I can see how the hand would be very small for you then. Okay, I don't see any hands up or anything in the chat, so I'm going to assume that that suggestion is okay, and I'm going to ask the Secretariat to do exactly that, to start taking a look at what steps and decisions would be required to initiate a PDP on the retirement of CCPLDs and independent review of decisions on delegation, revocation, and the transfer of CCPLDs. So Bart, you okay with that? You got that?
Yes, I got it, and I assume, I heard Abibu, he's online, so we call it now.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Welcome, Abibu. And with that, so we have covered agenda items 1, 2, 5, and 6. We will get back to our regularly scheduled program, agenda item number 3, the stewardship transition and accountability process. And just to get everybody back up to speed, as we have talked about previously, and it was in a previous agenda item at the last call, our last meeting, and that is, what are we going to do and how is the CWG, what are they going to do in terms of the implementation phase of the proposal, assuming everything, of course, goes forward. And at the core of the issue here really is that the CWG Stewardship Charter doesn't specifically address the implementation phase. And as you'll recall, we did receive a letter from the co-chairs of the CWG highlighting this fact and suggesting essentially that the CWG carry on to monitor the implementation phase. So we do have a resolution that essentially affirms their suggestion and that we enable them to carry on to oversee the implementation phase. And we do have Martin on the call, who will be able to potentially answer any questions. Can I just remind everybody to mute their phone? If they're not actually speaking, please mute your phone. Thank you. So we did receive that letter. It was in the package for the previous council call. It also was in your package for this council call, and essentially the CWG is seeking confirmation of their recommendation that they continue on to, as an oversight mechanism during the implementation phase of their proposal.
Is there any questions or discussion on this? We're also going to talk about membership going forward, but first and foremost, just the actual implementation oversight phase. Nigel, please go ahead. Nigel, you had your hand up? If you're talking, you're on mute.
Hopefully that's mute off.
You are now talking, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I unfortunately, when it does this, it cuts the audio while it's reading out mute off or mute on or whatever, and so I didn't hear you call on me. So let me just understand the agenda items. We're talking about the CWG proposal, not the CCWG proposal.
That is correct. We're on agenda item 3.1, which is strictly the CWG stewardship proposal and strictly responding to, or in this agenda item, just responding to the letter sent to us by the co-chairs requesting or suggesting that the CWG continue on in spite of the fact that the charter doesn't explicitly call out for their continued oversight role or a continued oversight role during the implementation phase. So we're essentially responding to their request that they have sent us.
Okay, well, I see that as uncontroversial. Just trying to find the draft resolutions that Bart sent out a couple of days ago, and was trying to do this on my phone. It's just far too small, and I've got the agenda, but I don't think I've got the. We're on 3.1.
3.1, and the resolution is specific to this. Okay.
Shall I read what I think it is? Save you the trouble. The CCNSO Council has no objection to the CWG stewardship to proceed with overseeing the implementation as described in its letter to the chartering organizations. Is that what we're voting on?
Yes, it's November 2015 letter to the chartering organizations. That is
fine.
Correct.
Well, I'll say that I think it's uncontroversial. I will say I've had an email from one of the members of the CWG, Paul Kane, expressing some concern that the CWG report stroke proposal has somehow diverged a little bit and expressing some concerns. But if we are talking about the CWG group continuing to pay attention and keep the buggers honest, then I think that's probably very much to be welcomed.
Okay. Thank you. And that is exactly what we're talking about. So, yes. Keith, you have a comment? Please go ahead.
I think just a very brief comment in regards to Nigel's suggestion about it being non-controversial. There was some potential for controversy with some members of the ICG also wanting to take a role in terms of implementation, but the ICG itself has agreed that its scope precludes it from being able to participate, and the members now fully agree that they shouldn't. So it was kicked back to the CWG for its consideration as to whether it should be involved as the overseer of implementation. So I'm in full agreement that it's non-controversial and it's a fairly straightforward resolution, and I don't think it should present us any problems.
Okay. Thank you, Keith. Any other comments or questions on this? Nigel, your hand is still up, but I'm going to assume it's an old hand. Thank you. Okay, so with that,
I'm going to put the resolution forward, and the resolution is a little different than what Nigel had said, so I'm going to read it specifically. It reads as follows. The CCNSO Council has no objection to the CWG stewardship to proceed with overseeing the implementation as described in its letter November 2015 to the chartering organizations. Can I get somebody to make a motion on that, please?
So moved.
Is that Katrina?
That's
Becky.
Oh, Becky and... All right, well, I'll take one as a first and one as a second. Thank you. Any further discussion? No. Since we're online, I'm going to ask first, are there any objections? Any abstentions? Okay, we'll consider it unanimously approved. Thank you very much. If you could just excuse me for one moment, I will be back in 30 seconds. Thank you. Sorry about that. So the next item related to that is regarding the membership of the CWG stewardship group.
Byron, this is Byron. Apologies for breaking in. I just want to inform you that Mathieu had to leave. He was only available for a limited time. So Becky, if you could take over. And Mathieu asked me to read out the statement he wants to do for item 3.2, so you're aware of it.
Okay, thanks. So when we get to that, I would appreciate that. That's unfortunate, but we'll carry on. The next element of the discussion is still in agenda item 3.1, and that's around the membership of the CWG. Stewardship, as I think all of us know, Stefan Johnson, who was one of our appointed members, has left .se, and as a result has also left the CWG group. Lise was one of our appointed members and the co-chair. She is leaving .dk at the end of the year, but has offered to continue on in her role as one of our members of the CWG, and has secured commitment by her future employer that she can continue to participate. So she is willing and able to carry out her role, or continue her role rather. However, she will not be doing it as a full-time employee of a CCTLD. So I think that requires some discussion to see if we're all okay with that. And quite frankly, participation by the other members in the group, with the exception of Paul Kane. Paul Kane will continue on, but participation by the other members has been pretty thin, so we need to have a discussion about how we want to go forward with that. So that said, I wanted to bring that up because I think we do need to replace Stefan in some way, shape, or form. That's question number one. Question number two is, are we comfortable with Lisa remaining in the role, even though she's no longer with the CCTLD? And then question number three, do we want to find other volunteers for this phase of the process? And if so, given timing is short, et cetera, do we want to find a way to appoint people, or do we want to go through a more lengthy call for volunteers, et cetera? So those are the three questions I want to put to the group. I am just noticing in chat that Abibu appears to have dropped off. Is that correct? Can we call him back? So I'm going to carry on because at this moment we don't have a resolution associated with this. It's a discussion. So I'm going to ask Kim to do everything he can to get Abibu back on. And we'll carry on with the discussion around membership. So let me say this. The first question, let's talk about leads. Lisa, is there any objection to her continuing in her role? We have Leslie, then Keith, then Nigel. Leslie, go ahead.
Thanks, Byron. Thank you, Byron. I have no objection to her continuing in her role. I know she is very dedicated, and certainly I think it would be problematic to get somebody else to take on that role at this stage. As somebody who's no longer working for CCTLD myself, that doesn't mean to say you don't keep skills and are very interested and committed to the calls. So I would certainly support that. More generally, I think we should put out a call for fresh volunteers, and if we can shorten that to the minimum possible and encourage other people to get involved behind the scenes, I think that will be a good way forward. Thanks.
Thank you, Leslie. Keith?
Plus one to Leslie, regarding Lisa. But I think we need to understand that her heart and soul may be distracted on her new day job, so we may not get all the care and attention that we've had in the past, so we need to be sure that we have sufficient cover behind her as well. So adding additional people or at least a person would be useful, and I think we should be looking to recruit someone who might be more appropriate in oversight of implementation phase rather than what's been happening to date in terms of the creation of the structure and policy and so on. So it could be a different set of skills that we need for that. Cheers.
Okay. Thank you, Keith. Nigel.
Well, Leslie has expressed it far more precise and eloquently than I probably would have done. And Keith also has said pretty much what I was going to say. If I can just, first of all, support and agree both of those comments and then continue to say that when we come on to discuss the possible replacement of Staffan, and I think the conclusion is going to be that we must go out to other councillors and to the general CCTLD community for the sort of skills that we need, that we are a little bit flexible and that we maybe try and recruit not just a person to fill Staffan's role, but that we, and it's probably, the two have probably now rolled together, these two items, but we try and get two or three people with the best will in the world, and I really, as I say, I really underline what Leslie said about having Lisa continue. There's the intention now, and it may be the case that in some month's time it turns out that, as Keith put it, we either don't get quite the same love and care that we have done previously, or she finds there is a conflict, and I don't want to go back to the beginning and say, let's now go and find a second person and start the search all over again. It would be nice to maybe have two or three people who could get up to speed and provide some backup to everyone.
Thank you, Nigel. Okay, so based on what I'm seeing in the chat and what we've heard in terms of comments, it's certainly my sense that there's no objection to Lisa carrying on, and I personally would certainly echo that sentiment. I'm also hearing that we need to find two to three other people, both as a little bit of insurance should Lisa's new job become all-encompassing, but also to ensure that we have the talent to replace Stefan and others. Basically, I've also, you know, it's also my sense that we should put out a call, which is fine, but I'm going to suggest that also we more proactively recruit as well as just put a broad message out. So in terms of, you know, Bart, can I ask that we initiate that process where we put a call out to the community? And perhaps I can suggest to be efficient with time that I, the chair and the vice chairs, will work up a draft of what we're looking for in terms of skills, because I take the point that's been made in the chat that the skills required for oversight may be different than the ideal skills required for oversight may be different than the ones for the actual work of the CWG. So burdening my colleagues, my vice chair colleagues, we can take that on to provide a description and put out the call, and then would ask Bart and Kim to get that process rolling.
Yes, we will, and it's noted.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other discussion on this particular item? I think we've covered that. Thank you. So we'll move on to item 3.2, which is an update on CCWG accountability. We did have Mathieu lined up to walk us through that. Unfortunately, his time was very tight, and given how we've had to juggle a schedule, he's had to leave. But as we heard earlier, Bart is going to walk us through his statement. So he provided a written statement, and Bart, you're going to walk us through that?
Yeah, it's not really a written statement. I will allude to the points he wanted to raise. One was the report on the webinars from yesterday, attendance and concerns. As you may have seen, I've sent out to you the notes from yesterday's webinar. They are available. On the first webinar, there were 9 CCTLDs and 12 people, and on the second, 8 CCTLDs and I believe 13 people. So this included not staff, but Mathieu as well in the 12 people. The concerns raised in the first webinar were a bit about process, the role of the council, etc. You can read it in the notes. And the second one, some more questions or clarifications, in particular around, more around the implementation phase. And that's work that still needs to be done in the implementation phase. Again, that's recorded. Second point Mathieu wanted to raise was that council will receive and the broader community a report of the CCWG members, CCNSO appointed members, that is, who support the recommendations. So he wanted to announce this letter is forthcoming to council and to the community, noting that one of the members has submitted a minority statement. Then the detail level of consensus, he wanted to discuss this following the letter of the, or the letters of CCNSO Council to the co-chairs of the CWG and the CCWG, and their expectations. In the view of Mathieu, they went a long way to meet the requirement that they put in reasonable efforts to seek consensus within the CCWG. Finally, and this is probably, and this is more for Becky to confirm, I believe, is he wanted to confirm again, as he did or as was done on the previous call, that in the third proposal, the Dublin agreed terms or the CC&SO terms, as discussed and as recorded, have been taken into account in the recommendations and in his view are met. And that's, you can, again, he alludes to it in the webinar and indicates that that the CCWG, at least the CWG members, the CC&SO appointed members, so Mathieu, will provide a summary of the CCTLD input received in the public comments before the 23rd special council meeting. Any indication the CCWG might have regarding absence of support from another supporting organization or chartering organization. That was the overview he wanted to provide. Maybe, Becky, you want to add anything?
Yeah, just on the specifics, you know, we did go back and work out a process whereby changes resulting from CVPs, changes to the bylaws resulting from CVPs could not be prohibited from going forward without the concurrence of the affected supporting organization. So, for example, the community could not reject a bylaws change to the CC&SO provision of the bylaws that was the product of a PDP unless the CC&SO was in support of that. There was a slight preference for the sole member or the sole designator model in the CC&SO discussions in Dublin, and as anticipated, that transition from a sole member model to a sole designator model was implemented. I don't recall the other conditions off of the top of my head, Bart, but we did go through them yesterday, and basically the concerns expressed by the CC&SO in Dublin have been addressed.
Yes. And we discussed it on the previous call as well, so there is,
right,
say, based on the summary, and so there is no change. It's more a matter of refinement in the third proposal, and according to Mathieu, Jordan, and you yesterday, it's still on track with that respect.
Okay, thank you, Becky. A couple of people, their hands up. Carolina first, and then Stephen. Carolina, please go ahead.
Thank you, Byron. I have a question on behalf of Peter Van. He's asking how is the CC&SO planning, the CC&SO Council planning to channel the input from the regional organization, since it's the process the CCWG is now considering is through the chartering organization. So he wants specific details as to how the ROs could provide the input in a detailed formal process to the CC&SO Council. Thank you.
Sure. So let me take a stab at that, but I'm certainly welcome my colleagues to also jump in on this question. So, certainly from my perspective, the CC&SO has not taken on the responsibility
to act as an aggregator of all comments into the CCWG process, unlike the responsibility that we took on for the work of the CWG, where we acted in that role. So I think that's a key point of distinction between these two separate processes. To answer the question specifically, I know that certainly Center, and I'm assuming the other ROs, or I know the other ROs, are working within their regions to come up with formal statements, which they will put forward to the CCWG, and I think that's as it should be. I'm closer to Center because as a member of Center, I have a pretty good sense of what's happening in that process. And there's a drafting committee right now. I think Nigel and I at least is on that in terms of who's on this call. And that is happening literally as we speak. And Center will put that forward in the public comment period. Now, in terms of how it goes to the council to inform and educate the council, as we move towards December 23rd, I think the formal statements of all of the ROs would be welcome material. And in addition to submitting to them for public comments, ROs should feel free to provide them to the council to help us in our deliberations as we move towards December 23rd. That said, I'm sure we're all going to read the comments in the public comment period, so they'll be available to us as council members there anyway. Does that answer your question, Carolina?
Byron, may I add to this? This is also the last point Mathieu alluded to, is that the CCWG will ensure, if, say, council doesn't do it by itself, that at least they will have an overview of the CCTLD comments, and I assume, and I will check with him, that includes the comments and positions from the regional organizations.
Yes, and that point bears repeating, that the co-chairs of the CCWG have assured us, me, that they will provide a summary of all CCTLD comments that go into the public comment period before our December 23rd meeting. So while you can read them all there for yourself during the course of the process, the CCWG will aggregate them on our behalf and get them to us before December 23rd. With that, Stephen, please go ahead. If you're talking, you're on mute. Stephen, are you with us?
Stephen, you're very faint.
Okay. While Stephen dials in, are there any other questions or comments on what we've heard so far about CCWG? I'll just, as a brief recap, we had a special meeting on November 6th where we walked through the process and the timelines. That, again, was in your package that you received for this call. We will, of course, be following a method fairly similar to the one that we used for the CWG proposal, and the timelines, like I say, were in your package, and they're as per our discussion on November 6th, as well as our last actual formal council call. I think we've had some updates thus far from Becky. Obviously, it's unfortunate we didn't get Mathieu's take, but hopefully Bart, you did a pretty good job at recounting Mathieu's perspective, and we have the feedback from our five appointed members. Four, what I'm hearing is four would appear to be in support of the CCWG proposal and will be providing us a written summary of their positions. So I'm going to assume that's will be available to us shortly, certainly before December 23rd, and there is a minority report from one of our members, Eberhardt. He's already written a minority report to the CCWG proposal, and I will reach out to him and see if he wants to sort of formally submit that to us as counsel, or whether he wants to draft something differently. I'm unclear on whether he's fine with just sort of resubmitting his minority report to the council. But I'll make sure he has that opportunity, and we have the opportunity to read his position. Stephen, you're back with us. Go ahead.
I appear to be, yes. So unfortunately, no, Mathieu here. I read the transcript of the call between the co-chairs and the board that occurred on the 4th of December, and I came away with a sense of deja vu, that the board once again is expressing some concerns regarding the mission statement, the inspection rights, the human rights proposal, and board member removal proposal. And I'm wondering if I just want to make council aware that the board is coming back with comments around the 14th, 15th of December was their time frame. But I just get a sense that we may well have another LA face-to-face blow up here at the 11th hour. Want to make council aware of that. Was wondering if Becky might be able to weigh in on this, if she knows anything. It's unfortunate Mathieu is not available.
So, I think that there we have to be prepared for it. I guess I'm hopeful that we don't have that, but it is clear that there is some anxiety on the human rights issue language in particular. There's some vague comments about sort of any time you change the mission statement. I mean, I, again, was hopeful that the changes that we made clarified sufficiently to address the board's concerns. I mean, if they do come in with a last-minute blow-up, then I think all bets are off for the time frame that we're on. Because, you know, if they're really saying, for example, that they can't accept the human rights language or the mission statement, I don't know how the CCWG responds to that in the time frame. It seems almost impossible that we could respond to it in the time frame for getting something out by the end of January.
Can I put my
because
hand up?
There is consensus about those things in the CCWG.
So, Becky, if I understand you correctly, the mission statement has been put to bed finally?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Becky. Thank you, Stephen. Nigel, you have your hand up?
Yeah, I do, actually. I was struggling with my phone, actually. It was Adobe Connect to throw me out, but obviously I got through in the end. If I could just ask a question of Becky through the chair, if I may.
Please, go ahead.
Becky, this is the first time hearing that the board have got concerns about ICANN respecting human rights. As you know, we had a real struggle in the participants, of which Stephen and I are participants in the CCWG, on this issue. And I wonder if you've got any idea what those concerns are, because as far as I can tell, much over my objections, the language that was eventually decided upon, first of all, on the one hand, says that ICANN, once it's no longer part of a government-connected organization, should respect fundamental human rights. And then on the other, thanks to the intervention of various people, who, some of which are familiar to us, has been got a qualification that says, but actually, it doesn't have to do anything about it if it doesn't. So if that's not almost a complete negation of the commitment, what on earth can the board be concerned about?
Well, my understanding is that they are concerned, and you know, I could have this not absolutely fully. I'm not sure I'm in a position to channel the board on this. My understanding is that there is some concern.
We won't hold you to it.
Okay, thanks. That there could be lawsuits and or independent review complaints filed over every policy development or, you know, action if it wasn't viewed as being sufficiently protective of or promoting of human rights. I mean, that's kind of the flavor. Like you,
so in other
I
words,
believe...
the board wants the ability to override people's fundamental rights as any commercial organization.
I am definitely not saying that, and they
no,
definitely would not. They would definitely not say that either. I mean, you know, like you, I think the language is goes fairly far in essentially saying that ICANN has no affirmative duty with respect to human rights, and that it should just not trample on them in implementing its policies. So I'm not quite sure what the, you know, other than what I've heard, I'm not quite sure what the problem is. But as you know,
we'll find out.
This is something that we had a huge struggle with, and you know, to walk back on that, it seems, on what we've got in there, it seems to me would be, you know, would be a fundamental change. So the schedule would really be thrown into chaos if the board was to come up with something like that.
Okay, I'm going to, just in the interest of time, I know we still have a few more minutes, but given there's a lack of clarity on this, I don't think we're going to answer these questions at this point. Nigel and Becky, you certainly brought it to our attention. Thank you. And clearly this is something the Council should keep an eye on. I think in terms of some of the core elements that would be very specifically of interest to the CCTLD community, and please don't take that to say that human rights is not, but I'm talking more in the very, let's call it a narrow technical interpretation of what would be of interest to the CCTLD community in terms of the independent review mechanism. You know, that's specifically carved out for us. We can have our own PDP, the community empowerment mechanism. You know, as was mentioned earlier, you know, we have provision that ensures that bylaw changes that implements a PDP from the CCNSO or any other SO for that matter cannot be overridden using the new community powers, and that, you know, removal of CCNSO appointed board members, you know, we have those powers, et cetera. So the things that are of very specific and narrow interest to us, I think, on that front, the proposal has certainly addressed our needs and the inputs over time. And until we have further clarification on these other issues, I don't think there's a lot more we can talk about here. I think the point that Nigel makes, or Stephen perhaps made it, is December 14th, 15th, we will get more input from the board, and that will be the next important point for us to watch and take note of. That said, you know, we do have the December 23rd call coming. Public comments are coming in. I would suggest that as they come in, please pay attention to them. Of course, we will be getting a summary from the CCWG itself on all CCTLD-related comments, but better to read them over time as opposed to all at once the day before our call. And as mentioned, the timing and the various steps are in your package, which we previously discussed, so we're not going to do it again on this call. Nigel, your hand is up. Is it an old hand?
You can take it down.
Okay,
thank you. It's my block connection to Adobe again.
Ah, okay, thank you. So we'll move on to 3.4, and this was just something that I wanted to make sure there was an opportunity to discuss. There had been some commentary over the last couple of weeks, whether there were any additional steps that might be required. And this was, as you'll recall, in regards to the recommendations of the triage committee in terms of how we handle the process. And I just wanted to make sure that if any of the counselors who had raised concerns still had any, if you wanted to bring them to our attention or whether we've moved beyond this issue. I think Leslie and Stephen and Nigel had just flagged this. I just want to make sure you had the opportunity to speak to it if you wanted. Leslie, go ahead.
Yeah. Just because I got the blame for partly raising it as an issue. I think we have gone beyond this now, but the point still stands that I think the triage recommendation was a little bit light in its wording, and I guess just we can learn from that going ahead.
Thank you, Leslie. And I would tend to concur. It was on the fact that we needed as much discussion as we did on it would suggest definitely that the wording of it could have been clearer, absolutely. And we can take that, those comments back to the triage committee. Thank you. Okay, so I will consider agenda item number 3 closed off. I don't suppose Young M has joined us while we have been talking. No, it would appear not. So we will have to defer item number 4 yet again. Moving then on to agenda item number 7, which is around the council elections. This was a particularly challenging one. The process started in late August with the appointment of Gabby, but this certainly in my time here, this has been an exceptional one. We've had 2 special elections, an extension of the nomination period in one region, voting in 2 regions, so this one had a lot going on, but I'd like to congratulate Becky, Demi, and Abibu with their re-elections, and Peter and Debbie are our 2 new counselors, and I want to congratulate and certainly welcome them. And now to formally close this rather extraordinary election period, we have a draft resolution in front of us, which all of this was included in your package for this council meeting. The draft resolution is as follows. The CCNSO Council adopts the nomination and election report nominations and elections to CCNSO Council 2016 and congratulates Abibu from the African region, Debbie from the Asia-Pacific region, Peter from the European region, Demi from the Latin American and Caribbean region, and Becky from the North American region. And the CCNSO Council thanks Gabby for her hard work as the election process manager. Can I get somebody to make a motion for that, please?
It's Keith here. I'd love to move it. Both motions.
Katrina second.
Keith first, Katrina second. Thank you. Any further discussion on that? Okay.
Nigel has his hands up, Byron.
Okay. Nigel, go ahead.
This is perhaps a little bit more appropriate after we voted on this because I'm fully in support of the motion and everything. I think it's fine. But I think it's worth making a comment that we need to address for future elections one or two little bits that I've noticed in passing, particularly as the moderator of the hustings, which I think I'd like to input it for future reference, you know, lessons learned and so on. But I commend the motion to council.
Okay, well, we'll come back to you after that. So
We'll put it to a vote. Are there any objections? Seeing none, hearing none, are there any abstentions? I see or hear none. It is unanimously adopted, and congratulations to all five councillors who have been elected or re-elected.
Excellent.
Thank you. Nigel, did you want to make those comments now?
I think so. I mean, it's more by way of an example of the things that we need to be looking at in good time, and I think possibly this is something that the Rules and Procedures Committees need to be, working group need to be looking at perhaps, rather than, or maybe even a special election working group, I don't know. But I say this is more of an example. I was the moderator of the, what I, we would call in my political background, the hustings, in other words, the Q&A of candidates and indeed even unopposed candidates that was held at the last ICANN meeting in Dublin. And this was entirely, I'm sure, unintentional and an accident, but I was somewhat blindsided to find that there was one candidate involved in the hustings. Entirely in good faith, I'm certain. But the nomination period had not closed. And I'm being perhaps a little bit picky here because, you know, I'm a trained parliamentary agent going back 20 years. But that's kind of unfair on any potential other candidates that might come forward. So I think perhaps we need to examine a little bit more closely the rules and procedures around calling elections and so on. I mean, I know it was convenient because everybody was there, but the fact is that the nominations haven't closed, and I was a bit taken aback.
Okay, thank you, Nigel. And a good point. I assume the Guideline Review Committee, et cetera, will take that into consideration. And with that, Katrina?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Byron. I just wanted to comment, yes, absolutely, that's, well, Nigel's right, that was not a good thing. But the issue here is that we had this deadline for LAC region extended. Somehow it completely slipped out of the scope, of, out of the view of meeting program working group. And unfortunately, since Gabi could not participate actively at the CCNSO meetings, when we received a complaint, official complaint from our elections manager, I went to the mic and tried at least to do something to explain that we might have additional nominations for a LAC region. But yeah, I think that when we have elections manager always with us, it wouldn't have happened. Yeah, but anyway, thanks for putting this to our attention. But, well, I think that if we didn't have, well, it's not a normal situation to have nominations period extended, so I hope this won't happen ever again. Thank you.
Thanks, Katrina. Okay, we will move on to item number 8, council updates. I do not have anything further to add right now. It's a chair update. Any vice chair updates?
No.
Nope.
Thank you. Any councillor updates? No. Regional organization updates? And while Carolina is typing, any staff updates?
No, thank you, Brian.
Okay, and nothing from the ROs. Okay, and moving on to agenda item number 9, a update from Guideline Review Committee. Katrina?
Yes, thank you, Byron. This week we had a very productive call, and we're moving forward with a couple of documents now being sent to our translators into plain English. So we'll, I think we have made very good progress. I also would like to note that we have this wiki space now fully operational. We have all the current versions of our documents uploaded, so if there is interest from the community or particularly from counselors, so you're welcome to visit the site or wiki space. Thank you.
Okay, any questions for Katrina? No? Okay, thank you. CCWG on use of country and territory names, there was a written update provided, so we'll take that as tabled. Item 9.3, program working group update. Katrina, back to you. Anything?
Thank you, Byron. Well, we have our first pre-Marrakesh call next week, and we'll start putting up agenda, basically. I think, again, we'll have we'll need enough time for discussions around all the proposals and all the issues related to these proposals. But we're also planning to have, we'll already have several interesting presentations on the table. So we'll start working on the agenda.
Thank you, Katrina. Any questions or comments about that? Just given it is the first of the new format meetings. No? Okay. Any other updates that we should be aware of from any working groups? No. Okay. Thank you. We'll move on to agenda item number 10. There were written updates provided from Genesil and ALAC. And there were a lot of extra materials in your package for this particular meeting, so they're in there. As was the work plan, the work plan was not in this one, but it will be updated subsequent to this meeting. And on agenda item number 12, it's just strictly the date to the next meetings. Of course, the only thing unique there is the special meeting we'll be holding on December 23rd, noon UTC. And in preparation for that, just recall that on December 14th, 15th, we should hear from the board, so that will certainly be worth paying attention to. And just after the close of the comment period, we will be receiving a summary of CCTLD comments from the CCWG itself. So expect that, and please take a look at that before our meeting on the 23rd. Number 13, any other business? Does anybody have anything they want to raise? Nope, seeing or hearing none. Okay, I will... We'll bring this meeting to a close and adjourn this meeting. Thank you very much, everybody. Have a good couple of weeks, and we will talk to you all again on December 23rd. Bye for now, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.